Hello.
Hey, guys.
How you guys going today? You've got me, Zana.
And you got Jess. And this is Keep Your Gin Up Podcast.
Hey, we've got an exciting episode for you today. It's all about being single.
Single Pringle.
Single
ladies.
And ready to mingle.
Actually, I've been saying ladies, but this could actually be for guys too.
Yeah, you can be a single man.
Yeah.
You can be a single woman. You can be a single whoever you want to be.
Yep. This is for the single people.
This is for the single people. We wanted to just kind of do a little single podcast because we're both single and it's kind of like a main part of our lives, I guess, and like why we do what we do and like how it affects what we do. So yeah, we just wanted to like share our inspiration about being single, how to do it, some tips, and yeah.
And living on the road.
And living on the road while you're doing it.
We're talking about travel nursing as well, but this is this podcast for everybody.
Yes.
It's not just about travel nursing and living on the road. This is for everybody out there who's a single Pringle.
Exactly. Single Pringle.
Yeah. So are you going to do part two or part three of your rap?
Okay. We can do the part three.
She's been practicing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As in just then.
The next bit. Okay. But yeah, I'm going to do it. Ready?
Okay. Go.
We're the nourished nurses. Never have any money in our purses. Yeah. We like to go away. We always like to have a play. That's what I got so far.
And that's why we don't have any money in our purses.
Yeah,
we
because
constantly
we go out
on
and we
like holiday.
To play because we are imminently waiting to go on our flight to Airlie Beach.
Yes.
Yoo-hoo!
We're literally sitting here with my bag's half packed. I've got an hour.
Yeah, Jess is a tiny bit disorganized. She had a bit of a rowdy night last night and decided to have a little sleep in this morning, which meant that she delayed her hair washing till now. And we have now an hour and a bit to get our podcast done and get her packed and get out the door.
You had a big night, guys. Anyway.
That's another story for another time.
I'll tell the people close to me what happened because it was a big one.
But yes, we're going to start our podcast with our spill of tea as we always do.
Yes.
So neither of us have actually heard our spill of teas today.
Yeah,
so
we try to keep this like, we don't tell each other before because we want it to be like natural.
Yeah.
I feel like I should go first because I feel like it's funny.
Okay, go.
And
for
it's in correlation to like the reason with me packing, like super last minute.
Oh, okay.
You've been making comments this week and it's like really smacked me in the face when you're like, how did you ever live alone?
Oh, yes.
How the hell did I ever live alone? I am a fucking mess.
Yeah. I mean, for anyone who doesn't know Jess personally, like it's actually concerning the things that she does. Like she'll leave the pot on and things burn and she'll set the smoke alarm off. Don't tell the fire department this, but we don't have either of our smoke alarms up in our house because they go off so often. Our smoke alarms are very sensitive, but also like Jess burns a lot of shit.
Yeah. Even last night I was cooking something and as I was going downstairs to grab something, I was like, oh, could you stir my curry? And I like hadn't stirred it for 20 minutes and all the bottom had burned.
The bottom was burnt.
Like I get so distracted.
You get distracted. That's a problem. I think it's more about you getting distracted rather than like, I don't know, rather than you being like, an idiot. It's more just, you just forget.
I think I'm just like, so like, ooh, I want to do this. Ooh, I want to do this. And I'm doing like a million tasks at one time.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's really hit me this week where I'm like, wow, how did I ever live alone? Like,
yeah, exactly.
But thankfully I've always kind of lived with people on the road kind of like I've only been alone maybe 6 months of the time.
Yeah. So you burnt the curry. What did you do the other day? You,
Oh, who bloody knows?
Oh, you left your shoes. That's one in the last podcast.
Oh, my
you left your shoes
God.
At home.
That was awkward as hell.
She leaves the fridge open all the time.
yeah, I do. And the one time you left it open, I was like,
She doesn't know how to work her aircon. And like the other day, she put the aircon on and left the house and put it on heating. It's fucking summer in Queensland.
And we're in Brisbane, for goodness sake.
And she had it on like wind and heat and all this stuff. And I was like, what the hell is going on with this aircon? You pressed every button you could possibly press.
I did push all the buttons. I was like, I don't know how to do it with this. I was like, push, 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 push.
I just don't understand. It's just
that
hilarious.
Would have been horrible to come home to. But I was like, sorry about that.
Yeah.
She like messages me. She's like, dude, you put the heater on before you left. I was like, oh shit.
Oh God. It's too funny. It's just
I mean, and I'm choosing to do a podcast episode instead of packing my bag. So shows my priorities, eh?
Yeah. Exactly right, but it's hilarious. It's
fun.
It's fun living with you.
The tea, just so you guys can, I know, delve into life of Jess.
Yeah. If anyone's like that, like I think we're quite similar in like most ways, but I feel like that's the one way we're different.
Oh no, you're like super organized.
Oh, so funny. Like the little mum.
Yep. Anyway. So I know everyone close to me can definitely vouch that I'm like this, but yeah.
But you are, I'll work on it. Gotta own it.
I need to bloody work on it.
No, anyway, just own it.
What's your spill of tea?
My spill of tea is an interesting one. Like, it happened while I was at the COVAX clinic and doing like all the COVID vaccinations, and everyone who's coming in for the vaccinations now, if people don't live in Queensland, they've just basically announced that from like the time we hit 80% fully vax, people who aren't vaccinated are basically getting locked out. Mm. So everyone's kind of freaking out and they don't have a lot of time to get double vax before that time. So every man and their dog is trying to get vaccinated now, and they've left it so late. So there's like thousands of people trying to get vaccinated at once, and there's not enough staff, and it's just crazy. Anyway, so I had this guy that I was vaccinating, and funny story, he actually has the same name as my dad, which is so weird.
But like the same full name as your
so
dad.
Like his first name was different, but his middle name and his last name were the same. Oh, so like he had the same last name as me. Oh. And I actually called my dad afterwards, and he's like, oh, we have a blah blah man, like a relative that lives in Queensland. And I was like, what?
Holy shit.
I don't have a team. I haven't investigated. Maybe. That's not actually the spill of the tea.
Oh, I thought that was.
No, this guy came in.
My cousin.
This guy came in, and like the wait to get in is an hour long. So you're already waiting in the line for an hour. He comes in with his headphones in, he takes it off. I'm like, hey, how are you going today? And he's like, oh, really nervous. And I was like, okay, that's normal. Like, everyone comes in here nervous. Like, it's fine. Like, I deal with this all the time. Like, we'll go through the questions and they will take it nice and slow. Anyway, then I got through all the questions. And then the last question is, do you consent to having a vaccine done? Because you have to consent to have a vaccine done. And you have to have
verbal.
And
it's always verbal.
No, you can have written consent.
Yeah.
But like, it's usually verbal consent. Like,
because, I mean, that would have been a lot of pieces of paper.
Yeah.
Like,
but people who are hesitant have to do a written consent, because like, right, if they do come back and say, I didn't actually verbally consent, then you can be in a lot of trouble.
Even though you drive there yourself.
Even though you drive
in the
there,
line for an hour.
Wait in for an hour. Yes. Oh. Yes. So we get to this last question and he goes, well, no. And I was like, okay, well, I can't actually vaccinate you unless you say yes. Like, this is, I can't do that. It's like against legal obligations, and it's also against my practice. And so he was kind of sitting there and he's like, well, like, I'm forced to get it from my work. Like, I will lose my job if I don't get it done. So he's like, I don't want to get it done. And I was like, okay, well, like, what can I go through with you to kind of make you like more comfortable? And so we went through like all of the ingredients, because he's like, do you know what's in it? And I was like, yes, I know what's in it. I've made them up before. Like, I've reconstituted them. So I went through all of the ingredients together. I went through everything and basically told him how like the SARS virus has been being researched for a very long time, and it's not a new vaccine and all this stuff. And then we were in there for most vaccinations go for like max 5 minutes in, yeah, out, vaccinate them, give them their sticker, get them out.
Well, that's why you bust out over 100.
Yeah. Right? I was in there for half an hour with him.
Oh, wow.
And then he was like, have you had anyone walk out before that hasn't had a vaccination done? And I was like, no, to be honest, like, people come in here hesitant, but they always come in here with some part of them knowing that they're going to get vaccinated today. So they don't ever walk out and say no.
Yeah.
And then he was sitting there and he's like thinking, and he was like, really, like, you could tell he was very nervous. Like, he was in his late 50s, but like, there's obviously a lot of like propaganda and things that he'd read, and he was very scared. Mm. And he was like, well, I think I'm gonna have to be the first one that walks out.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa. I was like, okay. I'm like, that's totally your decision. I'm like, you can always have a think about the information that I've given you today and come back. And he's like, no, like, if I leave here today, like, I won't be getting it done. Like, I'll commit to kind of this decision. And he was kind of like, it was almost like he always realized in that moment that he was going to lose his job too. So it was like a combination of everything. Like, he was emotional about the fact that he was losing his job, and then also like wasn't getting vaccinated. He was like in this really conflicted place.
I hope his mental health was okay after that, because that would have been.
Well, the funny thing is that because he wasn't getting vaccinated, I'm like, I don't actually know the process. So I'm going to go get my site lead. And so she came over and I was like, this guy that doesn't want to get vaccinated. And she's like, okay. She's like, just give me, like, I'll come over and I'll have a chat to him. Like, I'll just see how it goes if I give him an extra chat. And she was an older lady too. So she kind of like was on his level. On his like age level. So she came and sat down and basically had this story that she'd like planned, or like obviously she'd used before, about Hitler, and basically how Hitler had convinced an entire nation that Jewish people should be killed with no scientific evidence or anything. It was like mass hysteria and mass propaganda. And how like he convinced all these people to do things with no scientific research, and how the government is now obviously creating this policy, I guess, that we have to get vaccinated, but there's like all this research behind it, and it's for like health and safety reasons. It's like actually proven, rather than Hitler convinced all these people to do it for no reason.
That's a good way.
And so like she explained that to him, and she's like, you're not gonna necessarily get no side effects. Like, she was honest, very honest with him, like, this could happen and this could happen. But she's like, don't read those websites, because you have to understand that every single person in the entire world is coming together for this vaccine. Like, there's so many other vaccines out there, but like, 2-5% of the population might be talking about that one vaccine at one time. Like every single person in the world is talking about this at one time.
Yes.
And they're all going to be on those websites. And there's going to be people that have those opinions and like bring out those kinds of people who don't actually have any scientific facts to preach about things online.
Yeah.
But you're going to read those and believe them.
Yeah.
So she was kind of explaining it in a way where it was like, if you just take it, like if you just realize that like this is brought everyone together, like of course there's going to be people out there that say bad things about it. Of course there's going to be side effects because like you can't not have side effects if every single person in the world is getting this.
I had the rabies vaccine and that one messed
And like yellow fever and rabies and stuff, they are the worst, like
they're horrible.
They're the worst but you do it scientific reviews for those.
Oh yeah.
Like you do it because you have to and you do it because you have to travel. Anyway, so she explained to him and she was sitting down and she's like, it's, at the end of the day, it's up to you. Like we can't force you to do it. Like I'm going to leave you with this information or whatever. And then he turns to me after she'd left and he goes, okay, he goes, I don't want to get it done, but I'm consenting to have it done. And he's like, I will do it. And so I vaccinated him.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I thought he was like so appreciative of me though. He was like, thank you so much. Like, I really, really appreciate you going through everything. And like, he was really good. And yeah, so I vaccinated him and yeah, he left and got vaccinated.
Wow. I didn't know how the story was going to end then. Yeah. I was like, is he actually?
But I had to make him sign a written consent. Cause in that case, like it was an extreme case that he originally didn't want to get vaccinated. So I did have to like write a written thing, but yeah.
And that was on his first, so he's got to still come back.
Yeah, he's still got to come back. Yeah. But then he was like, he's like, okay, so like, how do I come back for the next one and stuff? So like he did, like he obviously came around to it in the end. So
people just need to have a chat. I think they just need sometimes to have a little chat.
Yeah.
And understand a little bit more.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think people, it's just like, so, like she said, so many people come online and talk about these scary things that happen to people. And it's like, of course, it's going to be people that get side effects. Like every single person in the world is getting it. It's mad. 7 billion people, if you think about it, 7 billion people.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, way cooler sort of my story.
Just a bit interesting, like, because I hadn't come across that before. And it was like, I guess it tested my, like, not empathy, but like, kind of like communication skills too, because I like, kind of had to explain.
Well, most people you look after are intubated, usually.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
You're like, I don't have to talk to them.
I usually talk to their family members.
True, true.
But yeah, that's my ability.
Very interesting. Mm. We don't tell each other these. It's always like, yeah, I hear this for the first time.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So yeah,
but anyway, we're going to get to the topic now. Being single. So you've listened to our previous episodes, we've got one called Cheat on Me, I'll Come Back Better. And that's a huge, like that's our huge stories about how we progressed into travel nursing. But it's also like what, I don't know, made us become single Pringles.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Our breakups.
Obviously. Our breakups. Yeah. That's usually what happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I don't know, we've all gone through like different stages and we spoke about like the grieving process of going through a breakup, whether it's amicable or not. We both had situations where it was not.
No.
It came out of the blue and hit us like a ton of bricks. But we're going to go through like how to be single, how to love yourself, how to enjoy your own company.
Because I loved being in a relationship. I loved having someone to share my life with and whatnot. But I honestly have never been happier than being single. And like, obviously I don't want to be single forever, but like, I think it's super important for part of your life. Obviously some people are going to be in marriages since they were 17, but I think for the majority of people, it's really important for at some point in your life to be single and like find out who you are, what you like, what you love and what you want to do with your life and who you want to complement your life as well.
Yeah. I think the coolest experience for me, like going through that progression of being single, was when we did like the contracts. And I remember being in a new town, so nobody knew me.
Yeah.
I was in this new town and it was like my first couple of days off from work, so I had no friends yet or anything like that. So I was kind of sitting there and I really had to think about what it is that I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Like I was like, do I want to go for a walk around the neighborhood? Do I enjoy that? Yes, I do. And then like, do I want to go eat at the restaurant? I don't want to get takeaway and just sit at home and eating it. I was like, I want to actually sit at the restaurant and read a book or like play on my phone or listen to something or watch Netflix while I'm at a restaurant. And I actually started doing things like that. And then I would be so bloody proud of myself.
Exactly. I think that's, people find that so scary. The thought of going to a restaurant by themselves. Like thought of as the scariest thing. I tell people that I did it. Like I traveled for 2 weeks without you, or whatever it was, a couple of weeks without you when we were doing a big road trip. And I obviously had to go out to dinner by myself because I didn't have facilities to necessarily cook. I had like a camping setup. So like I would go to restaurants by myself and so many people were just like, I don't know how you do that. Like, it's so awkward.
Yeah, it's
like,
strange.
You'd never look at someone sitting by themselves and think that that's awkward. Like,
never.
So like you shouldn't feel awkward doing it yourself.
There are so many people out there that, yeah, I bring it up as well.
Yeah.
Like I go out to dinner on my own and stuff like that. And they're just like, what the hell?
You can do whatever you want while you're going to dinner. Like you can sit there and read. You can like plan things out. You can sit there and just like look, like people watch. You could do anything you want. Yeah,
I love it. Like I actually personally love having a glass of wine.
Yeah.
And having a delicious meal.
Yeah.
And just like sitting back and just like looking at my surroundings and just
you can even listen to a podcast. You can listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
While you're sitting there alone at your table. I love listening to podcasts while I'm sitting and having dinner by myself. I love it.
I think everyone needs to, like when they're single, is to do that. Take yourself on dates and stuff. Because sometimes I'll be like, man, I really want some gnocchi or I really want a steak. Like,
yeah.
I'm gonna go bloody out and get one myself. It's
like you need to know and be okay with just sitting there by yourself. Like that's the thing. People get people don't like being alone. Like you have to really get comfortable in your own company. Like you have to get comfortable with that. Because like at the end of the day, you are the only person that's got your back. You're the only person that's going to be there for the entirety of your life is just you. Yeah. So you've got to be comfortable with yourself.
You do. And like, I loved getting to the point where I'd be like super bored and just sitting there and just honestly just figuring out what it is I like.
Yeah.
Like I would sit there and like paint my toenails and I would like, you know, have a little pamper day and I would put a little facial on. And I was just like, man, I love hanging out with me.
Yeah.
Like I love me.
And I feel like obviously you guys know that we talk a lot. So like it's pretty similar things that go on in our head. So like, I feel like I can just have like multiple conversations in my head constantly. And I'm just like, I only need myself really.
Yeah. I'm a crack up. Like I'm really entertaining, man. I'm a joy. I'm a joy to be around.
I guess like the thing I wanted to start with was like a little transition into single life. Cause obviously transitioning into single life isn't easy when you're used to being with someone. So I guess like some of the things like that we did when we first got single, that we'll talk about because they kind of need to start somewhere. You need to kind of start doing, like Jess already has said, like you need to start doing the things that you like and figuring out what you like. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of mine, like as random as it is, I think I talked about it in one of the other episodes. I just started doing like heaps of TikTok dances. Like I just learned them myself and I loved doing it. Like, and I just like was having so much fun because I was a dancer when I was like a kid, when I was younger, and I just was like loving making TikTok dances. And it made me feel empowered and made me feel sexy again. Like I was just like dancing in front of the camera and like as confronting and as like, oh, like as I don't know what the word is, but it's like scary as it was posting on TikTok. I was like, I'm just gonna do it. Like I was just dancing in front of this camera and I was like, you know what, like who cares? Like who's gonna judge me? And if you judge me, like that's your issue. Like I'm having so much fun here, so whatever. And it was so empowering. It's so empowering for me to do that. So it was one of the things that I did when I started being single. And then I guess the other ones were like just trying to reach out to anyone, like friends, new friends, trying to like say yes to everything. That's what I was going to do. Yeah. I was going to say yes to everything because I was like, this is my life now. And like, yes, I have a lot of friends and I had a lot of friends then, but like you don't do a lot of things with your friends because you prioritize being with your partner really. Yes. So like you might see your friends, but you might only see them once every 2 weeks or once every week. And you might just see them like a couple of times or whatever it might be. Whereas like now I was by myself. So like every time someone was like, let's do this or like come out, meet my friends, do this. Like I was just saying yes to everything.
Yeah.
And it actually led to me to a lot of great friendships. Like one of my great friends now that actually the one that has moved to Brisbane recently that we are also friends with. I met her randomly because she like started working at my work and she was new. And then all the new guys were going out for St. Patrick's Day at the pub. And I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? I'll come. I was like so upset. Like I was at home and I like felt like shit. And I was obviously still so upset about my breakup, but I was like, you just need to pull yourself together and say yes. Yeah. I put on a sick green jacket because it was St. Patrick's Day.
I know which jacket you're talking about.
Oh my God. And it was epic. And I was like, you know what? I was vibing myself. I was like feeling hot. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to go out. And then I told them like when we were at the table, like I told them all about my story and everyone was so supportive. It was just like a nice environment. So just like leaning on people, saying yes to things, go and do something crazy. Go do something different that you wouldn't do. Like to take yourself out of your comfort zone. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, you're already out of your comfort zone because you're now single. So you may as well chuck some more things in there.
Yeah. It's good to be a yes person as well. And, but like I started progressing into like when there would be like, say new agency workers coming to the work or like brand new people, I would always make that extra effort to like have a chat with them.
That's
and
nice.
I just used to make extra effort with people. And I think, I don't know, I think I've always been a bit like that, but then because I was so caught up in my own world and my own relationship that I might've not put in as much effort at all. But
that's
like,
normal to do that as well. Yeah,
definitely. But then I just would like put myself out of the way. And then when those people turn around and say to you like, wow, thank you so much for inviting me to that picnic or that, yeah, I don't know, that event. Like, I had so much fun and now I've made some friends. Mm. Like, thank you. You're just, yeah, like, man.
Exactly. Because they're there alone too and they're new. So it's like, it's exactly the same situation. Like, they're feeling vulnerable because they don't know anyone or they're alone now.
Yeah,
so it's
like the same family.
Yeah. And like, honestly, since I've been single, like the friends that I've made have become my family. Like the friends that I made are so close that they have become my family and they have become like my rocks. Cause like, as everyone says, boys come and go, but girlfriends stay forever.
And the other in the Sex and the City quote.
Yeah.
It goes, our girlfriends are our true soulmates.
Yeah.
Cause men come and go.
So true.
I don't know if it's that exact line, but it's about, yeah, that in life, it's actually our girlfriends who are our soulmates.
Mm. And it doesn't have to necessarily be girlfriends. I mean, it can be guy friends, but just friends in general.
Yeah.
Like people come and like other people come and go, but like the people who are truly like your soulmates and know everything about you and accept you for like everything you are, like mm-hmm. they stick around and they're around
but
forever.
It's true. Like guys legitimately come and go.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you think about it, how many relationships have you been on? How many dates have you been
exactly.
on?
Exactly. Like,
they actually
can't. And it's the same for everyone. Yeah. And like that's why, I mean, you'll hear it in our other episode, but why divorce rates and stuff are so high. Because it's like people transition so much and people change so much throughout their lives. Mm-hmm. So like you can't necessarily grow with that person forever. Like it's not natural. Sometimes you grow in different ways and there's nothing wrong with that. But you just have to like always know who you are, because at the end of the day, if those people do come and go, you only got you, boo.
Mm. So you got to love yourself.
Just you, boo.
What was the divorce statistics again?
It was crazy. Yeah, it was like over half. I can't remember what the percentage was, but it was over half of people get divorced.
It wasn't 80%, was it?
I feel like it was something higher.
I feel like it was 80%.
It was like 80% of marriages. And experience infidelity.
It was infidelity. That's right. That was crazy statistics.
Mm.
But like, speaking of, I know we bring it up every podcast episode, but we need people to know.
You were plugging it.
We need people to know about this.
So funny. There's this podcast I listen to called We're Having Gay Sex. And it's so like it's actually run by a gay comedian, and they basically just like have random chats with other comedians and other gay influencers and people, queer people. And they basically just talk random shit and then have like a gay sex story that they share. It's really funny. And they always say, like, what are your butt plugs? Like, instead of what are your plugs? Like, what are your butt plugs?
God.
So, yeah, we're going to butt plug this. Our divorce party.
Divorce party. You. Butt plug the divorce party. Fucking hell. It's March 19th, 2022.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is on a Saturday.
Yeah, boy.
We don't know the time yet. We don't know the venue yet. We're keeping all of that kind of
hidden.
It's
going to be secret.
Yes, at the moment. Mm. We want this to be massive.
Massive. But not like Corey Worthington massive, because we did talk about that and we don't want to go to jail.
Yeah, we're
but if
nervous.
We do go to jail, you guys have to bail us out.
But I'm going to be contacting the media outlet.
Yes,
about
so
this.
If anyone knows anyone in media or anyone that we can contact directly, please let us know, because we need this to be on the Daily Mail. We need this to be on the front page. We're getting so many people together to celebrate life, to celebrate love, to celebrate heartbreak, celebrate everything. So we need all the help we can get out there.
Yeah. I just did a little cheeky poll yesterday. And when I looked at it this morning, it's actually grown since this morning, but I had 28 people say yes.
Yeah.
That they want to come. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like we wanted 50.
Yeah.
So we're already over halfway.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like it's so many months away. So
I have conversations with people and I'll be like, have you been cheated on before? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, do you want to come to a divorce party? And they're like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we celebrate marriages so much. And I do understand, obviously, why you celebrate a marriage. But why the hell not celebrate a divorce?
Yeah. It's like a
brand new chapter.
It
doesn't have to even have to be in a negative way. Like, I'm not celebrating this divorce in a negative way. I'm celebrating it in a positive way of how my life has progressed and where I am now compared to where I was then. Like, it's a life transition thing. And I'm like, everyone's been in that boat. So,
yeah, I'm so excited to have a wedding dress on, by the way.
Yeah. I'm excited to see you in a wedding dress. It's going to be so weird.
It looks so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to like op shops and like Gumtree, Marketplace, all those things. What was that site that you said?
Still White. They sell used wedding dresses.
But like, you know, we're only spending like $50 to $100
yeah.
on a dress. We're not splashing out too hardcore.
No.
But then we have got some personalized sashes coming, which is very exciting.
It is very exciting.
Zana's is going to say divorced and everyone else is going to say divorce party. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have limited amounts of those. So we're going to make an event soon, and the people that are fully like into it, they'll get a sash. So that's going to be super great. We're going to have great photos, great night. It's going to be like a kind of a pub crawl, we're thinking, maybe two to three venues.
Yeah.
Because we want to be walking through the city in our wedding dresses.
Yeah, we need to parade that shit around.
It's hilarious. Mm. It's going to be so great. So if you're in Brisbane or around Brisbane, want to fly to Brisbane.
Yes, please come to Brisbane.
Bloody like, March 19th.
We're going to try and get everyone, like, because I obviously have heaps of friends and family in Sydney. I'm trying to get everyone up. So we're going to do it. Make it big.
It's going to be so fun. I'm actually, this is going to be the event of the year.
It will be.
Oh, yeah.
2022 is our year. It's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
COVID's going to be gone, hopefully, fingers crossed, and we're going to be back, baby.
Yeah. And I mean, we're going to be giving you what flavor to you Friday? Oh, every Friday.
Every Friday.
We're going to be consistent, guys. Get ready to hear us.
Anyway, well,
talk smack all the time.
Yeah. Back to our single chat. What is out there for single people is like, is hardware is a hard place to start to, because when people become single, they're like, well, now what? Like, how do I meet someone? Like, I remember sitting on my balcony being like, how am I ever going to meet anyone again? Like, I don't want to go and date thousands of people and like have the same conversations over and over and over and over and over again. I was like, I just want someone to like know me already. And like, but it's not obviously not that easy.
Don't be so bloody lazy.
I know. I was a lazy fuck. But there's so many things out there for single people, and it doesn't have to be a forced thing. It can be like supernatural. Yep. So like, obviously dating apps aren't for everyone, and I download them and delete them many times within the year, because I just get over it. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm ready to date again, and I date a few and then get some duds, and I'm like, oh, I can't be all this.
Yeah, you definitely get a lot of duds online dating, 100%.
But if you think about how many people are single, it brings everyone who's single. Of course, there's going to be duds on there.
Definitely,
there has to be.
But just remember, they're not all duds.
No,
it's just a high proportion of duds. But it's really a good way to meet people.
It is
as a friendship. Like even if like you're new to a town or like, I don't know, you just want to like expand your friendship circle. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be for dating or for sexual things.
Yeah.
You can just generally meet people. Another thing that I use as well is Meetup. It's an app, but also a website.
Yep.
And you just go with your surrounding areas. So say you're still in the same city that you had to break up. Say you're in Perth or Brisbane or whatever. If you go to like local events near you, you'll see that there's like workshops and there's dinner parties and there's dancing classes and there's picnics and there's just things that bring people together.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to meet people. When we first came to Brisbane, we couldn't do it on the day, actually, but there was a singles bar crawl.
Yeah.
And it looked bloody epic, but we were with a girl who was 19 that night because we were going out for drinks, and it was actually from ages 21 to 30 or something. Mm-hmm. So she couldn't come. So we ended up skipping it. But there's like so many things out there.
There's so many things, and there's so many different apps. Like for anyone who doesn't really know about the apps, like there's ones for basically dating and there's ones that are more sexual related. So there's Bumble, and Bumble has like three different branches. There's Bumble Business, Bumble BFF, and like normal Bumble.
Yeah. So
there's
you can actually make friends on Bumble with other like gals or other guys.
Yeah. So if you are single, it's not necessarily even about dating people. It's just about meeting people, like meeting new people. Like the people that I have in my life now in Brisbane, like, the majority of us are single, and it's a different life. It's a different experience. Cause I've like, you kind of in a different phase of your life than some other people that you may have been friends with before or still are friends with. You're just in a different spot now.
Yeah.
So it's good to reach out to like friends and also like go on dates to meet other, like you don't have to go on a date for it to be like romantic. You can go on a date just to meet a guy and just like get your feels out, see what you like, experience dating again. Like,
I think you should practice dating.
Yeah, practice dating. Yeah.
Totally up to you.
But I dated a lot when I first got single, like a lot. Yeah,
and it wasn't necessarily because I wanted a boyfriend or anything. It was just because I wanted to like learn the conversations and like how to talk and how to act on a date. Yeah,
and I think that's something you need to be really conscious of when you are first single is the fact that you shouldn't rush into a relationship.
Yeah.
And you should go into it knowing like that you're just going in there maybe for some practice and not rush into anything because you do need to heal. But today, like dating does help you heal as well.
It does.
Yeah.
Getting out there, you're like, oh, there's actually more fish in the sea.
Yeah. And you realize that there's actually so many people out there that are so lovely. And I've met, so I was on, like, I reckon like 50% of my dates, I could have ended up with those people, but because I was always on the road and traveling and things, it didn't work out. And so it's like right people or like good people, but I just at the wrong time. And there's nothing wrong with that either, but it does show you that there is good guys out there. And it doesn't, like, obviously for us, both of us have been hurt in the past. If your relationship is amicable, you wouldn't have this thought, but like a lot of the time you think like all guys are shit. Like, how am I going to find anyone? Like the rare one, like there's no one out there that's actually like a nice guy, but I promise you there definitely is.
They're bloody are. There's so many nice guys out there.
And you'll find one again. And it doesn't necessarily have to be now. It doesn't have to be in 5 years. It just do you, boo. And then when you find the person, it's going to be the right time. And it'll fall naturally into place.
I just remembered when we got to Brisbane, that guy that you had dated in a different town popped up online dating here.
Yes.
It was such a coincidence.
That's like, like 8,000 kilometers away or something.
That was so strange.
Mm.
And then they didn't even say, we were going out that night. We didn't even say where we were going. And we rocked up to this place and bumped into him.
Yeah. So it's like,
which was even more of a coincidence.
Fate. Yeah. Fate. But obviously we're not to get, like, not together. No. It wasn't fate in that sense, but it was like, I needed to reconnect.
But it made you feel nice because you like had gone on a date with him before.
Yeah. I needed to reconnect with him. Yeah.
And you practiced dating.
Exactly.
You did some good practice dates.
I did. Yeah. So yeah, the pub crawl things, the speed dating as well. So speed dating.
Oh, you haven't done that yet.
I haven't done it yet. I actually haven't speed dated, but I really want to.
I have.
It'd be hilarious, but also I talk too much that I feel like I wouldn't, like, there's not enough time.
Oh, it's very hard. You can bust out a lot in 4 minutes, okay. I tell you.
Mm.
And if they don't vibe back with you with that chat, then
you'll
know
straight away.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I had this real creepy guy one time. His name was Basil. And he was I am a photographer and I would love to take photos of you. And I was like, oh God, this 4 minutes cannot come.
You're like, I actually don't think I would get out of that alive, but sure.
I know his name is Basil. What a funny name.
Oh dear, poor guy. So yeah, that's kind of some ways to get, on some, I guess, on the single transition and back into your life. There's also obviously Tinder and Hinge. Hinge is more like one that more people use Hinge for proper dating.
Yeah, proper dating.
And then Tinder is obviously well known to be the fucking app.
Yeah. And do you know what?
There's also nothing wrong with that.
If you want to go out and have some fucking sex, go for it.
And I think, I honestly think, like, a lot of women and, like, actually just women in general get a lot of shame for being sexual.
Yeah, why do they still get shame? I still don't get that, eh? It's becoming more.
It's definitely becoming
changing.
Better.
It's changing.
It's a changing time, and I'm so glad to be living in this time because times are changing. But, like, guys can go out and do whatever the hell they want, and they get high fives from everyone. But if you're a girl and you've slept with 100 guys, like, the stigma is still around that, and it's still a little bit surrounding that. And if, like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with wanting what you want and, like, knowing that you just want to have sex with someone and you don't want anything else. So, like, power to you, girl. Get on Tinder, write on your bio that you're not looking for anything and you just want to have some fun, and just go have some fun.
Yeah.
And I honestly think that after being in a relationship for so long, it's really important to have a lot of different sexual partners. This is my personal
opinion.
Because you learn so much about your body. You learn so much about how other people work on your body and, like, how sex works. Like, you have the same sex with the same person for so long.
I mean, you had sex with someone for 7 years.
Yeah. And you have, like, you don't branch out that much. Like, obviously you know each other so well that you know what you're going to do next. You know, like, you know how your bodies work together. But when you're with someone new, like, it's, like, completely out the window. You have you have to communicate super well with people that you're having sex with for the first time, or even just, like, not even sex, someone you're, like, kissing or, like, being intimate with. Like, you just have to communicate because that person doesn't know you and you don't know them.
Yeah.
So, like, the most, like, I guess the best sexual experiences I've had since then is people who actually, like, ask you what you want, ask you what you like, and, like, try different things instead of just, like, being like, oh, well, this is what the girl that I was with last time liked, or, you know, it's like,
but then
I'm not
also
that person.
You need to learn what it is you bloody
like. Like, you like,
So, girl, go buy yourself some toys.
Get yourself a vibrator, get yourself a bullet, whatever the hell you want. Yep. Personal favorite is a clitoral stimulator. Those ones are next level.
Is that what the Vush thing is?
Yes, the Vush. So if anyone wants to go on there, Vush Empress 2, my jam.
Yeah, we actually got a discount code and we got that for so cheap.
Yeah, if you guys want to, like, we don't have it, like, it's not for us.
No.
But if you go on there and, like, put your email in, don't buy anything. Jess accidentally did it.
Yeah.
But don't buy anything, but put your email in, wait a couple minutes. They send you a 60% off discount code.
Yes.
So good.
It's so great.
So yeah, go, like, just find out what you like. You don't even have to get a toy. You can just use your hand, feel, like, find out what you like. Listen to some erotic podcasts, listen to some erotic anything.
Yeah.
You can even just put on music that you like that makes you feel sexual. You can do whatever the hell you want. Watch. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of watching porn, but you can watch porn if that's what gets, like, what gets you off. But don't get porn, like, let porn get be the only thing that turns you on, because you need to know how to get turned on in, like, other senses as well, and, like, actually being in check with your body. So yeah, you have to, like, know yourself and know what you like as well before that. So yeah, go out there, experience it, be sexual, be free, enjoy your life.
There's actually nothing sexier, I find, than a guy, like, wanting to make effort and, like, asking what you like, but then they find it even more sexy if you're like, okay, I want you to do this.
Exactly.
Like,
they don't,
what?
It's, like, very rare for women to, like, speak up and be like, no, that's not the right spot. You need to move here, or you need to do this. That doesn't turn me on.
Do you know what
they're,
I,
like,
say?
Whoa, what?
I go, I'm doing this with you. I expect an orgasm out of this. Like, this is my experience. I'm not here just to, like, get you off,
fuck,
mate.
Spiders.
Like, I'm a woman with needs. Like, I know that back in the day, you know, women would just have sex with a man for him to enjoy himself. But I'm like, I am here to experience an amazing orgasm. Yeah. And if what you're doing is not getting me there, I'll fucking tell you.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You need to have confidence.
What are you doing, Jackrabbit? Like, I'll say, yes. I'm like, you're being too Jackrabbity. Or you're like, yeah, what are you doing? Like, I actually would physically say it. And I'll be like, give me your hand. I'll show you what to do. And then I have a great time.
And I know it's scary, like, of speaking up in that situation, because you don't want to, it is scary, like, communicating with someone that you don't know about sex. It is scary. And I understand that a lot of people out there will be like, I can't do that. I can't tell someone, like, where to go and what to do. But just, like, try it once. Just, like, maybe, I don't know, have a glass of wine, have a couple glass of wine. And just, like, if you're having sex with someone, just be like, can you just move your hand here? Can you just move yourself to the left? Just say one thing and, like, it'll change your world.
Yeah. The way they respond. Something so simple as well. Like, the way they're rubbing, you know. Could you go in a circular direction instead of, like, up and down, whatever the fuck?
Yeah. Like, because also, I guess so, to understand simple. That sometimes they don't know what they're doing either.
Yeah.
And they're, like, they might not have been in a relationship. They're practicing on, like, so many different women. Like, if you teach them, then, like, they're going to go on to the next girl and provide just as many good, like, good goods. So, like, please share the love around, because we all want to be having good sex.
Exactly. So if you go onto our website, actually, so www.nourishnurse.com.au and go into the members section, Zana's actually written, like, a really good article about orgasms. And this is purely because she's actually going to be a sexologist as well. So it's something that super fascinates her, which fascinates me, because I learn so much. And it's a great article.
It's about faking orgasms.
And girls need to stop fucking doing
it. And please stop doing that, because you're only teaching guys to maintain their bad habits. And I can't even tell you how bad that is.
Like a jackrabbit on top of you. No girl can come.
No, if you are pretending that you're having an orgasm from someone jackrabbiting you, like, he should know you're faking it, because, like, honestly, no one should know.
Their heads are too big sometimes. I don't know.
No. So you have to tell them, and please do not fake it, because that means that one day they'll end up back around to us and think that they're doing the right thing, and they're not. And it's one thing that they obviously don't get taught at school. You don't get taught by your parents, because that would be fucking awkward. How to obviously please a woman. But, like, anyone out there, like, just teach your children to just, or teach your sons to please women, like, to make sure that they put other people first and not just their own needs. I feel like that's important too.
Definitely. But the thing is, there's actually, I forgot what the percentage is off by heart. You might know. For girls experience orgasms with sex.
There's very low.
It is very low.
It's like 20% of women or even less, maybe 15%.
So because of that reason, like, you kind of, you have to communicate with your sexual partner, because sometimes, a lot of the time, girls need clitoral stimulation.
Yeah.
So whether that be, like, specific moves, like missionary, I find, helps a lot of girls, but then also you need some kind of, and that's why it's good to have kind of toys as well, because if it means putting a little toy on the front while you're having sex,
then there's no harm in that,
and you get to come, the guys want to be stoked.
Yeah,
but you have to communicate.
Exactly.
It's like, it's like our last podcast episode, we'll talk about, like, communication's key.
Communication in every part is key.
You gotta talk.
It's key. You gotta talk about it. Because you're both in there for the same reason. Like, you're not there for them. They're not there for, like, you're both there for each other. You shouldn't just be, like, focusing on yourself, and they shouldn't just be focusing on you. Like, it's a combined effort, you know?
Yeah, if you're too scared to say it face to face, like, bloody text him or something.
Yeah, have sex with them, and then when
you're like, next time we have sex, could you do this?
Yeah,
like, and this and this.
And I guarantee you that if you send them a message like that during the day while they're at work, Jesus, they'll be turned on.
Oh yeah,
so
do it.
Go for a girl. Just, like, own your own power. Take your power back.
Girls, supporting each other. Okay,
exactly. What other self care tips for being single? So, yeah, I guess one thing is, like, self pleasure, but along with that, it's just, like, self love and. I guess, like, knowing your self-worth as well. I feel like after a very traumatic breakup, you can really lose your self-worth. Mm-hmm. So I found, like, a lot of things, like writing things down and journaling, and each day writing the things that I was grateful for that day. Like, even just, like, three things. If you just, like, wake up in the morning and write three things down that you're grateful for, it sets a really good standard for the day. And I think, like, you have to learn to love yourself and love every aspect of your body. So I know that's hard for some people, but just doing things for yourself, like putting on something sexy to wear, or putting on makeup for no reason and, like, just getting dressed up, or whatever it might be, like, make yourself feel sexy. Take some, like, nice photos, even if you're not sending them to anyone, just take some nice photos for yourself. And just, like, get to know your body, like, appreciate every bit of your body, because every bit of your body is amazing. It should be praised and appreciated. So self-love, looking after yourself.
I love doing the, it's called the love language quiz.
Mm-hmm.
And It's called
Knowing Your Love Language. Yeah, yes, I love this.
It's super important. So
it is.
It's 5lovelanguages.com. Mm-hmm. And you go on and you start a quiz and you answer all these questions.
Yeah.
And it tells you what your love languages are.
Okay.
And it's really important to see if you're compatible with someone because of your love language.
Because if there's a mismatch, that's an issue.
Yeah. Like some people say are really affectionate, where the other people are not.
Yeah.
And you know, if that's kind of your love language, then you kind of need to be with someone who is affectionate, because otherwise it makes you feel like you're not loved.
So exactly.
They are words of affirmation. So what is it? Verbal compliments that express your love and appreciation. So if you're someone who needs to be told that they love you and that they care for you and stuff like that, I need to be told.
I need words of affirmation. Words of
affirmation as well. How to express, brag to others about your spouse.
Spouse?
Why do I make shit up every time? Write love letters. And then acts of service is another one. So any act that eases the burden of responsibility. So say you're like, oh, I've got to get petrol tomorrow. But then your lover has gone and filled up your petrol. And then you're just
I'd like have sex with me now.
And you're just like, your panties will just drop.
Am I all
away.
Of them? I think I'm all of them.
Maybe. how to express, for example, like washing the dishes, pampering your spouse. Let me do that for you. Like fucking sexy.
Wow, sexy.
Yeah,
ass.
Mine's acts of service.
Yeah.
And then quality time. Focus and undivided attention spent together, where you turn off electronics, go for a walk, plan date night, start a hobby together.
Mm.
That's quality time. There's another one, giving gifts. Mm-hmm. I'm not a giving gift person, but some people are, and that makes them feel loved. So it goes tangible symbols that reflect your thoughtfulness and effort. Makes birthdays, anniversaries special. Surprise them with their favorite treat. Give small tokens of love and an apology note if you've had a conflict. Like, it's just that they have to give you physical things.
Yeah.
And then the other one is physical touch, a non-sexual touch that reinforces your presence. So hugs, gentle caressing, kissing, massages, like hand holding. I think the last time I did this quiz, I was words of affirmation and physical touch, but I definitely like the acts of service too.
But I feel like I'm maybe all of them, and that means maybe I'm a handful. Maybe. You have to be everything for me.
We should do the quiz after we finish.
We should do the quiz, yeah. Because we'll do the quiz and we'll let you guys know at the end. Do a little thingy at the end and tell you what ones we were.
It's good to know, because then if you do meet someone and you say to them, like, oh, have you heard of, like, I actually find it really sexy when I talk to guys and they're like, oh yeah, I know my love language. I'm like,
oh my God, it's so attractive. It's honestly so attractive. And someone who like knows what they want and is motivated and is going places and like gets up every day and is like ready to go for the day, that they like write down what they want to do for the day. Like, it's so attractive.
And it's like, you meet different guys at different stages of like your life.
You meet them when you're supposed
to. In your 20s, they're very different to their 30s, but then you can meet someone in their 30s that act like a bloody 19-year-old. Mm-hmm. Like, but
everyone I've dated has taught me something.
Oh, like, yeah, me too.
If it hasn't worked out or whatever it might be, like, everyone has taught me something and it makes you who you are. And like, I appreciate every single person that I've dated and seen. And like, there was nothing like ever necessarily wrong with them. It just wasn't the right match.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean that they're a bad person, but like, dating out there is like, it's fun because they teach you things about yourself.
Yeah.
They teach you things about life. Like, it's nice having like little snippets of other people's lives to like teach you about life in general.
And if you have a wall up, like, actually try and reflect what the wall is. Like, I've definitely had my walls, but do you know what? I know exactly what the walls are.
Exactly. Mine is trust. And like, I find committing to someone very scary, like, now that I've been hurt. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a wall for me. It's like commitment. I'm like, oh God, like, I'm so scared. Like, this is going to progress anywhere. Like, even if I am feeling like, but I need to like just reflect back on that and be like, all right, has this person actually given me any red flags? Has this person actually done anything that has made me feel uneasy? Because if they have, like, I need to understand that that's because of like how they've made me feel, not actually because of my wall. Like, if I actually reflect back and there's no issues, like, I need to slowly chip down that wall, because they're doing nothing to break any of that trust, those trust issues. And like, you have to let someone in eventually. So you just have to keep cracking at the wall.
Absolutely. Everybody has their vulnerabilities.
They do. Yeah.
They really do. So everyone has some kind of wall, whether it's cheating, infidelity, whether it's sometimes they don't feel attractive enough. Sometimes, like, even guys, like, if they're like, honestly, like, starting to bold and you don't even see it, it's something that they obsess over. And I didn't realize this as well.
My ex was like that very badly. Yeah.
And you know, that's a vulnerability for them. It's their appearance. And it's like, that freaks them out.
Yeah.
It could be a sexual health vulnerability. It could be like, just, I don't know, just being hurt, just like, or a medical condition. Like, maybe they've got like this background medical condition on, like,
There's maybe so they have anything. Like, they could have a sexual issue. They could have something that like scares them and they don't want to share it with you. I don't know. Like, it could be anything at all.
Yeah. There's a million things, but everyone has their wall.
Yeah.
And it's actually, it's fun breaking down each other's walls.
Yeah. It's freaking scary, but like everyone's scared, and like everyone everyone is scared like getting into a relationship with someone. There's not a single person out there.
I don't know
not.
Anyone that would not be scared to be in a new relationship.
But because it is scary, it's something new, and like you're giving your heart and soul to someone, and you don't want it to be smashed up into pieces. But you also can't stay single forever and like scared to ever experience that again, because I would go through that heartbreak again for the experience that I had. Like I would.
Yeah.
Because it may be who I am today. And as much as it was shit, like next time when and if it ever happens again, you'll be stronger and better.
Oh, it's gonna happen again, girlfriend.
Maybe. I mean, I hope I don't go through another breakup, but
remember when because we were living together and then you were like mentioning that I would have to live with a boy eventually and you'd live with the boy. And I was like, no, I wanna live with you forever. No,
I must not leave.
I was like, you're gonna move in with a boy and leave me? Can't I have this like other room? She's like, no, because we're adults. Like,
Jess, we have to move on with our lives at some point.
Yeah, she's like, we're adults, Jess. Like, you have to go find a man and I'll go find a man and we've got to separate. And I'm like,
oh, it's so funny.
But that's, you know, that's my wall.
Yeah. In saying that, walls, like there's obviously a lot of walls up when you first come out of a relationship, but also at the same time, you're still like in this transition period that like sometimes the first thing you want to do is latch onto someone else.
Oh, yes.
So you have to be super careful when you are first dating to be stay self-aware and realize the reason that you're getting into this relationship. Are you getting into this relationship because this person is exactly everything that you want and is ticking everything, every single box, and like you just happen to meet this person at this time? Or are you getting into a relationship because you just want someone to be there because you're so used to having someone there and you don't want to experience being alone and actually going through the grief of being alone?
We all know people that do that.
Yes, I know a lot of people that jump from relationship to relationship and are never single and are progressively in like long-term relationships, like 5 long-term relationships, which just, I don't even know how that's possible. You need to let yourself be on your own for a bit.
Yeah.
But like getting to know yourself and being alone is so powerful.
It is, honestly.
So you know the red flags, like chuck your sister a message, chuck your friend a message, like just say to them, hey, like I'm feeling this way about this guy. Like I'm really falling for him. Like, are there any red flags? Like, what do you think's going on? Like all this stuff, because your friends can be like, you need to just like take a little step back. You need to just like reassess the situation. But yeah, your friends, your family, those people like know you the best. So just like reflect back on them too and don't rush into anything. Just like give yourself some time to heal.
Use that time to strengthen friendships.
Exactly. Well. Yeah.
Use the time because we all kind of do it when you get in a relationship, you kind of focus a lot onto that, but you've got to focus on your girlfriends and your, you know, guy mates, and you've got to strengthen those friendships as well.
Yeah. I think the last thing we're going to say is that obviously branching back into our nursing life, like a lot of the agency nurses that we come across are single. I think it's a huge majority.
Like a legit like 80% or something.
Yeah. And I think it's because having a flexible life is very hard to maintain a relationship.
Yes.
And it's very hard to find someone that's willing to do that with you. If someone has a 9-to-5 job and they work in an office and they can't work from home or they can't work distance, having someone in a it's very hard maintaining that relationship because they can't travel with you. Yeah. If you travel with some, or you meet someone that also can work on the road, or you can do that together, then those are the only relationships that I've seen work necessarily on the road. But a lot of people who are doing agency nursing are happy being single and they don't necessarily want someone to travel with them on the road. So
if you meet someone like, and they know that it's a passion of yours.
Yeah.
They kind of need to support your passion.
Yeah.
Like, if you're just doing it to like earn money and be on the road and be single, fair enough. But if you meet someone, and you want it to work, but you've got such a passion for going away. I mean, there's FIFO workers in that all the time.
Exactly,
so
right.
It's meant to work. It's meant to work. I know for a fact that if I met someone and they were going away and I really, really liked them, I would put the effort in and I would wait for them to come back and I would still communicate with them.
And there's a lot of relationships, like the relationship that I have seen that work on the road and work with agency, they compromise. So they might, there's one girl that I met, she works 6 months of the year and her husband works 6 months of the year and they travel around. And so she'll do 6 months traveling and doing agency nursing while he hangs out in the caravan, goes fishing. Like he doesn't work for 6 months and they'll go live somewhere else, or they'll go back and he's a builder and he'll go work for 6 months as a builder somewhere and she'll take 6 months off.
Oh, nice.
And so they have like a really good relationship. And then also sometimes they'll both work if they can in the same place and then they'll both have 6 months off together.
Mm.
So it's like there's compromise. And that's another thing that's important, is compromise
and communication.
But yeah, that's kind of what we wanted to go through today, like just a little bit of a single Pringle life. And just like go and love yourself,
get out there, man, and get some dating stories. I mean, you can have an Aladdin story. Go listen to
it. Is hilarious.
Be Your Own Hype Girl episode. Like I drop a real good one
like
there.
Man, going on some like going on a lot of dates, like it really builds, like it builds yourself up.
Oh yeah,
like it builds some what do you call it, it builds character.
Yeah,
definitely builds character.
I've had some funny dates, eh?
Because
funny
like
dates.
It actually is, it, I don't know, it makes you take life a little bit less seriously and kind of just, yeah, have fun with your life rather than making it all so serious. Like, I need to find this person. I need to have this done by this age, and I need to have kids by this age. Like, if you create all these timelines for yourself, it's not going to happen. You need to just go with the flow, because things are supposed to happen when they're supposed to happen, and the world will align and the universe will align when it's supposed to. Yeah. Like, we see the number 1111 like all the time now.
Oh my God, because, every bloody day.
Because, like, I actually just feel like the world is looking out for us and the universe is looking out for us. And, like, we see that and we're like, you know what? We're on the right path. Like, don't stress the small stuff. Just keep going. And get your vibrator out. Okay, that's enough from me.
Yes, go get it out right now.
Yeah, go get it out right now.
Anyway, I'm gonna keep packing. We leave. Yeah,
we gotta go. We gotta go.
I got shit to do.
Yeah. So we'll love you and leave you, and we hope you enjoyed that one. And we're sending love, life, and laughter to you always.
Goodbye, you guys, everybody. Bye.